Well, amen. Thank you for that. What a beautiful song. No condemnation found in Jesus. When you come to him, you got to leave stuff behind. Amen. Wow, that was great. Thank you, guys. So proud of you, college students, college adults, people doing life, taking care of yourselves and one another. Proud of you guys for going to Passion. And I'm so glad you went. And I just want to say, I know Zach and Kelsey, you know, just have a huge heart for the college students. You know, they're taking care of our youth. But, you know, what happens after your time at church, you get off to college, that's a time where a lot of people tend to walk away or maybe drift away from the church. And so it was on their heart to do something with that group. And I'm just excited to see that video, and I hope that something stuck in your heart from that. So, fantastic. All right, well, welcome to Hope Church. Welcome Hope at Home. By the way, there's a few more notes. If you want to take notes, I've got a few things out there for you to grab. And they have some of the notes from last week, if you weren't with us last week. So we'll get you caught up the easy way and give you the notes from last week. If anybody wants it, Zach's back there. He'll bring you some, okay? We began a new series last week called Foundational Faith, based on the book Basic Christianity. I highly recommend that you would read that by John Stott. Excellent presentation of the gospel. We asked a simple question last week. What is basic Christianity? Okay, you would never call the foundations of a skyscraper basic. You would call them the most important part of the building. All right? Likewise, that is also what basic Christianity is. It is the most important part of our faith. And without the answer to that question, it all collapses. Amen. So it isn't about the 2.4 billion people in the world that lay claim to it. Okay, it's not about Christianity. It isn't about anything you have done. It's not about the Christian. It's about one thing. What is that?
Jesus.
That's right. It's about Christ and what he has already done. And that's why on your notes there, I've crossed out the I-A-N-I-T-Y. All right, and left you with Christ, because we've got to get everything else out of it so we can see what it really is. From last week on those notes, you have the key to understanding. As a reminder, the key to understanding Christianity is in the first four words of the Bible. And what are those? Yes, in the beginning, God, he initiated all creation. He initiated everything we have, everything we see, and he revealed himself to man, right? Not the other way around. We didn't find him. We never could. And the chief expression of his revelation to man was found in his son, Jesus Christ. We need to respond to that as soon as possible in your life, okay? And so we can see the next step in the process when you carry out that thought. We need to know everything we can about who Christ is. Knowing who someone really is. Wouldn't you like that? That's kind of what you're after in your relationships, right? Knowing who someone really is, it has nothing to do with what everyone else says about them. It has everything to do with who they claim to be. There are basically two types of people. People who accomplish things and people who claim to have accomplished things. The first group is less crowded. Okay? Quote from Mark Twain. I love that quote. Some people claim to do things, other people do things. What's the big deal about what we claim to be? claims are statements we are presenting to others as truth. When I make a claim about myself, I am declaring to you that I possess something that can be proven. Right? How's that look? Well, my wife claims to love me. She does. She claims to love me. And I can verify for you through experience that she actually does in just three words. Are you ready? Levi, Zach, and Nate. Boom, right there. She loves me. She gave me three children. I can't think of a better thing than that she has completely laid down her life and her body for me to give me children. That's some love. She takes care of them. I would never doubt it because she shows it, not just in that way, but in a thousand different ways. I never have to guess if my wife loves me because she has proven it to me over and over and over. That's a great relationship to be in, when you never have to guess if someone loves you. Now let's read 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. It says this: if we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. What's John saying here? He's basically saying, hey, your pants are on fire, right? You're a liar, right? If you make the claim and you don't do it, if you claim to love someone, or even to love God but never demonstrate it, or even if you just put forth, you know, sometimes a minimal effort, then I seriously bring your claim to love God into question. And it brings other things into question when you don't do what you say, right? People may begin to question your honesty when you don't do what you say. They may question your commitment, your devotion. And if you start living in the complete opposite direction of what you claim to be, people will begin to question everything about you. They're going to question your integrity. And ultimately, what it comes down to is, can you even be trusted? So doing what you say is of maximum importance in support of what you claim to be. And we know that a lot of relationships break down because of people not living up to what they claimed early on in their relationship, right? I'll stay with you through anything is what we claim at the altar. We claim that, right? But then it seems just about anything breaks it down. Now, some relationships break down for real reasons, okay? But you know what I'm saying. We make claims. Claims are important. Now, the claim of Christianity is that God has spoken and acted and that Jesus Christ is the one who has fulfilled it all. That's a pretty big claim. And that leaves us with the big question for today. What did Jesus claim to be? That's where we're going to start. We have to know what Jesus claimed to be, because Christianity collapses on itself if what Jesus Christ claimed to be isn't true. If it's not true, we shouldn't be here. We're wasting our time, right? So we'll start by looking at what Jesus claimed about himself straight from his mouth. And so all of the scripture that I'm going to put up on the screen today from here on out will be direct quotes from Jesus himself, right? Straight from his mouth. There's a number of different passages we could begin with. So let's just go big, all right? We're going to just go big. You ready? We'll start in John chapter 4. We're going to go through some various passages. John chapter 4. Now, I'm going to paraphrase, since there's so much, I'm going to paraphrase some of these stories, put them in my own words, okay? Jesus is traveling through Samaria, and he meets a woman drawing water at a well. Familiar story, right? Not just a random well, but a well dug by one of the patriarchs, dug by Jacob centuries earlier. It was a kind of a weird situation, to tell you the truth, because Jews and Samaritans did not speak to one another. They didn't speak to one another at all. And here Jesus is, and he's asking her for a drink, and his disciples, you know, he sent them off to get some food. And she's like, how are you even asking me for a drink? We don't talk. Your people, my people, we don't talk. John 4:10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She goes on to say, What are you? Are you greater than Jacob who gave us this well? Jesus says, hey, if you drink my water, you'll never thirst again. She wants the water. He tells her she's been looking to quench her thirst in all the wrong places, even revealing how many failed relationships she had been in, but she is a perceptive woman enough to declare him a prophet for knowing that stuff. And she says, look, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. In verse 26, then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Wow. That is a pretty big claim, isn't it? I am the Messiah. Straight from the mouth of Jesus. The one prophesied about for thousands of years. The topic of all the conversations of thousands of years of this Messiah we've been waiting for. I'm the one. So number one on your handout there, Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. John 4:26. You can write that on your note so you remember where that is. John 4:26. Pretty amazing. Let's do another one. John chapter 6. Passover was near. Lots of people are following Jesus around. He's getting popular. He's getting famous. They want to hear what he has to say, right? It's like the cool conference kind of thing. Let's go. This is awesome. They all sit down and everyone is hungry. And Jesus, you know, he's compassionate. He wants to feed them all. He knows they're hungry. They've been listening to him all day, but they don't have any food. They look around in the crowd, and what do they find? You remember? 5 and 2. They find a little boy. He offers 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Jesus holds up. Did I say fishes? I think fish is the correct word. 2 fish. Fishes. That's not a word. We'll get this right. He holds up 2 fish. And he takes what little they collected. He's able to feed them all 5,000 plus. We don't actually know how many were there, but there was a lot, more than 5,000. And everyone had clearly seen this sign. It was unmistakable. There was a miraculous lunch, right? And we're still looking for him to show them more signs. They're looking around for him. They loved it all, but they missed what he was saying about himself. And so we have a nice lunch lesson from Jesus here, all right? He says, y'all been looking for me. Jesus doesn't say y'all, but he says, y'all been looking for me, okay? I told you, I was paraphrasing this today. I need you to come up and preach this one. He said, you've been looking for me because I have bread, and you've been looking to fill your stomach, but you're going to be hungry tomorrow. But real bread, bread that lasts, comes from the Father. And he says in John 6:33, he says, the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the whole world. And they say, sir, they said, always give us this bread. And John 6, verse 35 says this, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Number two on your handout, write this. Jesus claimed he came down from heaven. He came down from heaven. John 6, 35, write that next to your number two there. John 6, 35. This is not about claiming to be a loaf of bread, right? To come to every time we're hungry and just receive from the Lord what we need every time we want something. He's claiming to be all we need for eternal life. And bread is a perfect analogy. It's basic. It's all you really need. It's so basic that it basically means food in general. For example, when we break bread together, we can say that and we can mean we're eating a meal, a whole meal. So we use the term bread. He is the one who sustains all life. The whole meal is found in him. The Jews grumbled at this. They argued. And a lot of people ultimately left him after things like this. Why? Because he claimed to have come down from heaven like that bread. It was a lot like when the manna came down and fed the Israelites in the desert. And some of the dialogue of this passage is exactly about Moses. You can go back and read it at home today. But he said that he himself was the actual bread of life, and his life is what would be given for everyone who would come and receive it. That was the whole point. Pretty amazing. He came down from heaven. Let's do another one. John chapter 8. Okay? I'll go right into this one. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. All right, now just like that bread, he doesn't mean he's the sun, S-U-N. He means there is another kind of light. That is the light of truth. Spiritual light. Well, number three on your handout, right? Jesus claimed to be the ultimate truth. John 8, 12. So he claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to come down from heaven. And he claimed to be the ultimate truth. Look, we can be walking in the sun on a beautiful day, every day of the week, but walking in spiritual darkness at the same time. He is the light in your life, the spiritual light, to awaken you to the truth. Now, this time around, some religious leaders actually hear him. He was talking to the masses before. Now the religious leaders overhear him. They're getting interested. And the Pharisees challenged him, and he said, they say, here you are. Here you are, Jesus. You're appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Anything you claim, not valid. You can't say that, right? You're making claims about yourself. You can't do that. And Jesus answered them, if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. What the Pharisees said was important. Their intention was to invalidate his claims. was to invalidate his testimony, but instead it serves as a testimony that Jesus was making claims about himself and he was willing to defend the claims he was making. That's important. It helps us to know that Jesus really believed what he was saying about himself. So I am the light of the world, the ultimate truth. Let's do another one. John 14. Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going somewhere. You can't follow, but I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back and get you, and I'll bring you there. And we know that he's actually talking about his death and that he's going to die. And he's going to come back again, but they don't understand. His disciples don't completely understand what he's saying. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? John 14, 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wow, that is a powerful statement. But number four in your handout, right? Jesus claimed there is no other way. John 14, 6. There is no other way. If you want to sum that up, that's how you sum it up. Here's what he meant. He's the only way. He's the only truth. There is no other truth. He is the truth. And he is the only source of life. This is what he was claiming to be. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? There is no other way you can live. There is no other philosophy that will get you there. You can't get to God, neither can you get to the place he's preparing for you unless it's through Jesus. That's a huge claim. That probably turned off a few people. Until this day, that turns off a lot of people. Because whenever you say, you can't get there your way, you got to go this way, they're like, nope, I'm done. Right? But we're talking about what is Christianity. We're talking about what do we believe here in this room and at home. What's the foundation? What do you really believe? Progressive Christianity today is getting more and more broad, right? In fact, I read the beliefs of the statements of faith and the beliefs of a particular progressive church that's excelling. I can't remember if it was in Atlanta or if it's in Chicago. And their statement said, I'm going to paraphrase it, that they believe Jesus was a way to get to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus meant. He meant there is no other way. All right? We begin to see that as we search out the claims that Jesus made, that he must be completely true or he must be completely false, because truth must be truth all the way through or it's not. It's not truth. Jesus is still talking to his disciples after this. After Thomas asked this question, he says, if you really know me, what I claim, if you know me, you will know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know me and you have seen. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. You have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. That'll be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father And he says, how can you say, show us the Father? How can you even ask that question, Philip? I am with you. I have revealed myself to you. All right, to make claims like this, that was a death sentence in the Jewish culture. People didn't make claims like that. Jesus claimed to know God and to be God. You might say, how can that be? And I would say, well, I can't fully explain it to you, but Jesus claimed it. And that's what I'm showing you today. Now, these claims that we've just gone through, and there are many more, okay? But we don't have time to do them all today. So we're going to have a part two to this sermon today, okay? These claims are what the author calls stupendous. You like that word? Stupendous. It's almost like stupid. They're just stupid crazy. That's kind of something we say today. It doesn't really mean stupid. It actually means stunned. They're stunning. I should never say that word again. Forgive me. Some little kid just said that word. Sorry, guys. My fault. Stunned. Stunned. It means stunned. And it means that these claims are so astonishing that if they're true, they are mind-numbing. Okay? That's what stupendous means. So amazing that it's stunningly amazing. I just changed the word because I was going to say that other word again. Okay, now if false, whoever made them would have to be mental. I mean, seriously, that's the only other possibility for someone to make these kind of wild claims. It is clear then that Christianity, if it's clear that Christianity is based on Christ, then we have to know what Christ claims. And it is clear that Christ claimed to be our Messiah. All right? There's a lot more instances of what Jesus claimed to be. And so we're going to look at that next week. But let's do one more for today. One more for today. Another passage from, guess the book? John. Let's go. John, clearly the Apostle John was interested in teaching us who Jesus claimed to be. That was a big point of his writing. Read the book of John if you want to know who Jesus claimed to be. Okay? Good assignment for this week. This one's from John 11. Let's do this one. Jesus was confronted by Martha when her brother Lazarus died. And you remember what she said? She said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Well, she believed at least that he could have saved him. She believed that. Why didn't you do what I know you can do, Jesus? Heal my brother. And Jesus says what? He says, your brother, he's going to rise again. She says, I believe that. He's going to rise in the end, at the final resurrection. Jesus hears that, and what does he say? Verse 25, John 11, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Amen. What's he saying? Number five right there. Jesus claimed he could conquer death. He claimed he could conquer death. Now, these are big claims. And if you really want to know who Jesus is, then you have to carry out this study and carry out your studies and find out if he did what he claimed. That's important. The very next thing Jesus says to Martha, he says this, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And that's the question I want to leave you with today. Do you believe this? because you will hear Jesus make claims and tell us who he is and answer the questions that people ask him. He answers the questions that you have. But he turns it around and says, do you believe this? There's a lot of opinions out there about who Jesus is. But listen, anyone who claims to claim that they know who Jesus is, all right, has to have studied what he claimed about himself. So don't listen to anybody who hasn't studied what Jesus claimed and tells you who he is and isn't. Don't listen to that. There's no credibility in that. All right, the question is, do you believe this? Amen. I want to ask the worship team to start making your way back up, and we'll end with a little bit of worship again today. Thank you, guys. Let me finish this way. Back to the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Those that ate the bread in that 5,000, they asked Jesus, once they saw that miracle, they said, what must we do to do the works God requires? What does God require? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Do you believe this? We will continue this next week. Let's pray together. God, help us in our belief. Lord, you've laid out the claims. They are all there for us to see. You lived on this earth. You came down from heaven. You gave your life for us. Not only did you claim to be these things, but you have proven it. And Lord, help us to see those things. Open the eyes of our hearts. Lord, reveal who you are to us in a deeper way so that it sinks in that you are the only way, that you are our only source, and that you are our only truth. Thank you, Father. Amen.